Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another First Run Bald Movie. Tonight, Jim and I went and saw a movie. I've seen
Lies.
A Suicide Squad. I've seen a Suicide Squad film.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight, I saw the Suicide Squad film.
Definitive.
And had a great time doing it. Jim, what did you think of the movie, The Suicide Squad?
I had an awesome time too. I want to apologize off the bat. I had like 3 hours of sleep last night and I'm dead on my feet at this point, dead on my ass because I'm in a chair, but I really enjoyed this movie. This is what Suicide Squad should have been. And mm-hmm. It like shows you the difference in caliber between writers and directors. Like,
yes,
who wrote and directed that last piece of shit?
Oh yeah,
I remember. And now we got a guy who can actually write and direct, and it's a hell of a movie. It's a great time.
It's like I said, just people to give a shit, you know, like you probably outside of Harley Quinn and King Shark, since you've watched Harley Quinn, the animated series on HBO, outside of those people, you don't know who the fuck any of these people are.
Yeah.
None of the bad guys, the big bad guy. Like, I Star to Conquer checks out. He's an actual they are an actual DC villain. But who the fuck knew about any of these? And the fact that James Gunn just kind of take him some off out of shelf and effortlessly make some fun, builds an emotional core around enough of the characters that like that shit matters.
Yeah,
that like worked. There's some moments that only work because they've built this kind of, you know, crazy parental relationship in like 3 seconds of film time. It's amazing. This is the best of like most cutting edge, that ultra slick pornographic violence that feels so good to watch for a certain type of person, like your John mm-hmm. Wicks. At your Mad Max Fury Roads, this is just like escalation. I feel sorry for John Wick 4 if they're far along in the filming and post production because this shit is setting the bar. Marvel,
yeah, different things. I think John Wick can still do what John Wick does, and you know, without the fantasy of this, and still get away with it totally. But you're right.
I'm not
saying
there's got to be puppies and rainbows behind John Wick as he's killing people. I'm just saying that like some of those sequences, like Margot Robbie looked really fucking good doing John Wick shit in this movie.
Oh yeah. I had a question for you. I don't know if it's better here or the spoilers, but I haven't seen the last Harley Quinn movie. Birds of Prey or whatever it is.
The Fabulous Birds of Prey. Usurpation of Harley.
What the fuck are they doing? What the fuck, DC? Yeah. DC has fucked it up until like Joker and right now.
They really love punching themselves in the dick.
And they threatened
you know what?
By naming this the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, well, honestly, 15 minutes in this film, I'm like, man, Jim was kind of in a bad mood today and he didn't have any sleep. I'm really thinking that this is going to be like an above average superhero film and he's just going to shit all over it. But
no,
because,
you know,
I felt like the first 15 minutes was kind of like, well, this is kind of like, yeah, I've seen this on The Boys and oh, yeah, I guess
no,
that's kind of. But that
I love the
I feel
first
like he's
15 minutes
rope-a-dope
in
this.
And they do. Yeah, they definitely do. I think. This the opening 15 minutes of this is what Army of the Dead should have done in its opening 15 minutes, except without the subversion, because there is a subversion. And I think it's great, but I also would have been totally cool if they just ran with what they did in the first 15 minutes. I was in for Weasel is what I'm saying.
OK,
fucking Weasel.
Okay,
man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just thought the action was a little bit more pedestrian in that first. It was like slick
is,
and wall to wall, but it was like not nearly as inventive and kind of demented as some of the shit gets up to.
I mean, Weasel is pretty demented.
Right, but like that's the charm of it. Like,
yeah,
We just actually, I was so excited, I almost gave a big giant spoiler. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, the movie kind of like, that's when the movie yanks the rug out from underneath you. And I feel like it does it a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
I instantly relax and I'm like, okay, this is going to be a lot more than just a pedestrian superhero film. Man, what a soundtrack, too.
Yeah, it's good.
This movie's got some deep cuts. It's got some old favorites. It starts off with the Folsom Prison Blues and just gets more awesome from there. Mm-hmm. It looks amazing. Like I said, gosh, it's wild how much King Shark just is a thing in the movie that does not stand out. That like, oh, it's like Gollum and Lord of the Rings
standpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, you're like, he might, I don't know. Like, I wonder how much did they ever use like latex dude in a suit? Because like some of those shots of him, like just riding the helicopter or chilling out in the bus. Mm-hmm. Do you know who the voice of King Shark is?
I don't.
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, right. You told me that. I'm disappointed. I think
that came out in the badass, but I forgot until halfway through the movie, and I was delighted to be reminded of that fact by Cecily.
Mm. Yeah, I was disappointed with King Shark. It was maybe the one disappointment in this entire movie, because yeah, I've seen Harley Quinn, and Ron Funches is so fucking good. And it would have worked perfectly. Like, the character they came up with is like half as good as the character that Ron Funches plays on that show.
Here's the thing. I thought this was a much better version of King Shark than I thought we were going to get. Like, I thought that they gave Sly a lot more to do, and he just like went full on dummy. Like if like Rocky got hit with a brick bat 100 more times in his career is what this guy essentially sounds like. And it's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. The problem, and that would have been a great character, we would not be saying this, except for Ron Funches kind of kills it.
Yeah.
And as funny as King Shark is, he's 1,000 times funnier when he's Ron Funches ripping dudes in half.
Yep.
Like out of nowhere. Cause you're like, this kind of fussy, kind of soft spoken guy, and he's kind of upbeat, but he will tear a motherfucker in half.
And he loves it.
And eat them.
He has no shame about it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a shark man. Right. Why? This is what he's supposed to do. But yeah, there's a couple of like hero scenes of him doing his thing that is like, I mean, this is the Incredible Hulk for DC. This is a breakout. This is a wildly popular character. In fact, I would just get Ron Funches to do it going forward. And the joke is that he just kept reading books.
Okay, sure.
Like you just like, you know, like you have him like actually reading a book and like thumbing through it and like, yeah, I just kept on reading books, guys. You know, the Ron Funches voice.
They plant that seed in this movie. No one says no to that. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, thank you for your service, Sly. If it wasn't for Ron Funches, you'd probably be the definitive King Shark, but you need to move on. Let us have what we need to have. I just was surprised. I thought this would be fun in like the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of way, but like it really is like a rated R film. It's very, yeah.
This is very Guardians violent. Of the Galaxy with the Marvel shackles hoisted off of it, right? It's like Deadpool probably with the Marvel shackles hoisted off of it. I don't know Deadpool's going to be able to do this
Marvel doesn't go at least this hard on Deadpool 3, then they just shouldn't do it. Then they're just a bunch of pussies. Then they ought to just make a PG-13 Deadpool. And it's not just gross out humor, and it's not just like juvenile humor. There's a lot of like sophisticated kind of shit going on here. And just some like really big cheer moments, too. I kind of like, so we decided, since this was on HBO Max, we decided to just watch it in the comfort of our home. Mm-hmm. I kind of think it would have been a lot of fun to watch it on a big screen, though, because this would be, there would be 10 like giant cheer moments, at least in this movie. Some really big ones.
I found myself thinking that early on. I was like, man, this early fight scene here, it would be, it's a little lackluster. It's like a little bit toned down, and I can tell, you know, it's pumping out my TV speakers. I'm like, it sounds thin. This would be so much better in the theater. And it really would have, but also I didn't want to go to a packed theater for this thing, because it would have been packed. Yeah.
Oh, that for 100%. But it is like, the other thing is like, I feel like that comic book movies, like the super duper serious ones, kind of peaked with Endgame. And now this just opened my eyes to like all the things a comic book movie could be. Like, I'm actually kind of interested in seeing someone doing like a no shit, just pure straight up like Richard Donner Superman, Alex Ross kind of take, just like a really fit dude in spandex. And like, you know, like a golden age Superman movie to do like just like really archetypal stuff with it. I like this really subversive stuff with it. But like, you know, like we talked about how like no one took comic book movies seriously when they were still spandex dudes. But like when you put them in Kevlar and this ultra realistic shit, like it starts kind of clicking with people and they can take it seriously. Well, now that like we take this shit so seriously, I think it's time to start bringing some of this comic book shit back. Like, for example, there's HBO does another one, the Doom Patrol. Stuff like that. That's like magical realism. What they were doing with FX's Legion, what they were doing in Harley Quinn with some of the psychedelic shit in there. Like there, it's such a rich palette. Like, why not have a bad guy with glowing spark plugs sticking out of his head? Why not have something patently ridiculous like King Shark? You know, why not have a guy that with a chrome penis on his head? It's fucking great. Plus the world, like it's a really cool, rich, multi-textured kind of realistic world that as the comic book heroes are more gonzo, it gives the plot more room to be like gritty and realistic. Like they're like that. This is like some Tom Clancy shit that was going on. Dark heart of the underbelly of the American dream kind of thing they're exploring here. Again, with the guy running around with a chrome penis on his head. So, God, what a movie.
Yeah, it was really good. I would recommend seeing The Suicide Squad rather than just Suicide Squad. What a difference a single word makes, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the difference in Ohio State University. I mean, who knows what the fuck they do up there, but the Ohio State University,
right? Ooh,
you sit up straight. You straighten your tie up when you hear that. The Suicide Squad. James, yeah, I'm just really impressed. The thing that's super impressive about James Gunn is that he's willing to sit and think about like what makes a character cool or what could be like the omega use of its power. Like, you know, you could call rats. What can you do with a rat? What can you do with 100 rats? What can you do with a million rats? Or like, you know, a guy who throws polka dots at people. Well, what's that power do? What makes him tick? What's the thing that inspire? It's just so much better. Like James Gunn thinks more about like polka dot man than I feel like Zack Snyder thought about Aquaman.
Has ever thought about anything in his life. Sure. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like really, it's like, what is this makes this tick? What is the fundamental? What's the cool thing about what? And man, jeez. Yeah. Did a great job.
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, I don't think a lot of people like Zack Snyder's his substance, but they do like his style. I think this movie has got it on Zack Snyder's style, too, honestly. Like,
yeah.
You know, Zack Snyder does some interesting visual stuff, but this movie is no slouch for sure. Dude. The finale, the end of this movie looks so amazing. You'll be surprised because it's I won't talk about it here, but they do stuff with visuals and the main bad guy, let's say, is really fucked up and really cool looking.
Yes. And yeah, when Harley goes like, I know why I was given this thing with the big smile, I'm like, I know what's going to happen here. And the thing is just like, what's it going to be? And it just kept getting more awesome and repulsive. Like it was this constant feedback cycle of me like, right. Oh my God. Ah! But
it's beautiful. I can't look away, but it's horrible.
It's terrible. It's beautiful. Is Joel Kinnaman cool? Like, this is a perfect character because this is a character with like a giant stick up his ass. And that's like best playing that. Like, that's what he does in For All Mankind. I love him. This is like the apex form of this. This is a really good character for him.
It is. I don't know if they write characters for Joel Kinnaman now, because after Altered Carbon and For All Mankind, he is just that guy, like you said, but it does seem tailored to him.
Yeah.
He's a straight man, and there are a lot of goofs around him.
John Cena really surprised me. I've seen him be kind of low-key funny before. He was pretty funny and self-aware in that Amy Schumer film. And, you know, I've seen him in, like, SNL and stuff, but, like...
Yeah.
He really fucking commits to this and is really good.
He does, yeah. And the dialogue that they give him is really good, too. The jokes they give him. I've seen John Cena in trailers for other things. Like, wasn't he in that Kumail Nanjiani... shit, what is it? Stuber? Was that the name of it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
That was Batista.
Okay.
Yeah.
But these wrestler guys have been doing, like, really shitty movies on the side, and then, like, you know, they'll go do Guardians, right?
Right.
But then you pull out something like this, and I'm actually genuinely surprised that you could be this cool and good.
Yeah, come to James Gunn Wrestlers.
Right.
He will make you into an action, like a charismatic
the
action
Rock.
Star.
We need you. We need you,
yes.
James
Can
Gunn.
You do something with James Gunn, please? Idris Elba is just such a straight upgrade from Will Smith, because they play essentially the same character, except for they're both completely bent at screw angles from each other. Mm-hmm. But he is so goddamn... There's a sequence here where he does some Batman shit in, like, $1,000 Gucci slippers. And it's so fucking cool and awesome. Like, talking about the style of this movie. Man, what a great character. What a late badass run this man is making. If it's too bad they didn't give him James Bond, or he would be really, really up there, man, in the rankings. And Margot Robbie.
Right.
We need her to make at least 6 more Harley Quinn films before she, like, you know, ages out, like, you know, before she can't do it without throwing a hip out, because my God, she is so amazing at this action stunt stuff. That was my one criticism of the Harley Quinn film, is that, like, the violence was so stylized. It just wasn't even violent. Like, you know, she's she's unironically hitting guys with giant hammers, and she's got, like, a confetti shotgun, and, you know, where here she's a goddamn killer, and it's great, and she looks great doing it with all the high kicks and the twirls and the man, it's like this really great gun kata stuff. God, I loved it so much.
There's a particular scene I want to talk about, but we'll do that in the spoilers.
Yeah, I've got extensive notes about the things I want to talk about, because I really want to geek out about this movie. Do we want to talk about anything else? Just in a non-spoiler way. Great, sounded great.
Yeah, no stuff in non-spoilers, but definitely in spoilers.
Lots of heart. And really good actors are pulling it off to make you care. You know, they're working their ass off on this stupid movie to make you care, and they do it. That's about all I got to say.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Since we stayed home and watched it on HBO Max, we don't have any trailers, but what we do have is our third quarter first run movie schedule.
Okay.
Are you guys ready to hear it?
I am. Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, here we go. Up first, August 27, Candyman.
don't do it.
I ain't going to do it. I want right. to sleep tonight.
You have to wait till August 26th to do it.
I want to see this movie. I want to see this movie real bad.
Yeah, the first one's a cult classic. You know, it's one of those like schlocky kind of campy horror movies. This one looks way more serious, way better.
I'm thinking like, I'm so glad because like, when I was a young man, they tended to just kind of take things from my childhood and just make like a jokey thing of it, like Starsky and Hutch. Oh, wouldn't it be so funny if you had Owen Wilson in it? Now it's like dusting this thing off and shining up like this. Who got signed for the Highlander that got us all excited? Like all these properties were kind of like jokey, but there's something really cool in the center of it, or maybe the special effects don't hold up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fucking shine these diamonds in the rough up, and this looks like it's great. The talent attached to this, oh my god! I'm
and you can tell there's money behind it too. It's not they're not cheaping out just to cash in. No. It seems like they spent some bucks. So
it looks like prestige and Criterion A24 type of shit. September, we are not doing a first run movie in September. We went through, we debated about it. The thing is, we're just not excited about Shang-Chi and Venom. I didn't even see the first Venom. Jim said it was all right.
It was okay. Yeah.
We reserve the right if these movies are some kind of like fucking genre revelations that are generating tons and tons of buzz and discussion. We do reserve the right to watch it the next week and talk about it. But
yeah,
we think we're going to be safe to skip these. I'm not really excited about another comic book movie until Eternals, and I'm only kind of like medium excited about that. Mm-hmm. But October 1st, we got a pretty loaded month. The 1st of October, The Many Saints of Newark, the prequel to The Sopranos. I'm very excited to see this movie. I have been training inadvertently by watching The Sopranos this year. I've only got 2 seasons left. I'm going to be peaking. I'm going to be like that bottle of wine in Sideways. I'm going to be coming right to my peak October 1st for The Many Saints of Newark. October 8th, No Time to Die.
There we
finally go. Finally, this fucking movie is coming out. I have been salivating over these trailers for it feels like 5 years now.
Finally, Rami Malek can get some more jobs. I haven't seen him in anything since like Mr. Robot ended, and I'm waiting. Or, you know, the Bohemian Rhapsody, I guess, was the last thing.
You
I
know
saw
what's funny is like, because I'm like, I don't know about Rami Malek as like some big Bond villain. I don't know. That seems like it's goofy. But then I watched Pacific War, and he really surprised me with the shit he got up to in the second half of that series. So I think this is Daniel Craig's last. That's kind of hand off to a new, but I hope they really knock it out of the park because I think he's been a great Bond.
Yeah.
And he's kind of been in a couple shitty ones. And it's time for him to go out on top. October 22nd. Do you see how you get a Jim to drink the water? You don't force him. Every time people ask, are you guys going to, I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm not even going to ask Jim because he hates Dune. And it's like, I've just accepted it. I've just made peace with the fact. Jim shocked me by telling me 3 weeks ago he was reading the fucking novel.
Well, so the thing is, Dune to me equals David Lynch. Equals David Lynch. And I do not like David Lynch. There's a single movie of his that I like. And the rest I've hated with a passion. So, I'm willing to divorce David Lynch from this now that there's a remake and I can go read the novel and I can go watch the movie. And who knows, maybe even like it. We'll see.
That's the thing is like, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. That last trailer hit a mostly awesome, but a few sour notes for me.
Oh, no.
You can probably guess the ones that did. But I still have high hopes. God, I really hope it's successful enough to make the second half of it. Yeah. November 5th, Eternals. Like I said, I'm medium excited for this. There's a lot of talent. This looks very visually interesting. I know nothing about these characters, and it's like very integral to Phase 4, it sounds like, of Marvel. So if this is another big hit, I think Marvel's really got a nice, strong start out of the gate. On the other hand, if this is kind of like I don't know what we're gonna make of it, so... And then finally, for our third quarter, November 19th, Top Gun Maverick. Another one that I've been waiting a long, long time for.
Yeah, they've been playing what's the shell game with this thing, man? They're just like shuffling these movies around because this was supposed to come out like a year ago.
Oh yeah. These were all Corona shuffles. And the other thing is like these ones that are out because they just moved Dune 3 weeks, like 4 weeks ago.
Right.
It was going to be out with No Time to Die under some. So like these ones in November, I'm a little shaky on. In fact, we held off on scheduling anything after that because we're like, who the hell knows? Plus, you know, who the hell knows? Who the hell knows what's going to happen in the next couple of months? Just geopolitically, virology. Who knows what's going to happen? So,
yeah.
But that's our plan. That's a really fun slate. I'm really excited about every single one of these films. And it's going to be chaos if they suck. So it'll be a good podcast either way. So that's what we're going to be. You have to look forward to in the months and weeks ahead. This is where we must part ways if you're not a patron or club member, because we reserve our spoiler filled first movie reviews for our loyal club members. So if you are, come on past the red velvet ropes. Everybody else, go to support.baldmove.com if you want to hear what we think about the Suicide Squad.